Hey, y'all, welcome to Traveler's Guide to Venus and Mars with Princess Robin. If you've ever wondered how relationships are approached from another perspective, this is your relationship roadmap. Today, we're on part two of comparing relationships, and our tour guides are Eve, Trina, Antoine, Aaron, Special Application, and Casey. Welcome to the show. Sorry, we're doing this on Zoom, and Aaron is changing his name every 3 minutes, so I have to call it out.
What you are finding is special.
That's right.
We'll hear about it a little bit later. So for all the newbies out there, the ground rules are as follows. There are no right or wrong answers. Debate is welcome. Keep it clean. Keep it real. But most importantly, have fun, as we always do. So clink your neighbor on that. More people got glasses now. Cool. So let's just jump right in. So as I mentioned, this is part two of comparing relationships. And in part one, to quickly summarize, we talked quite a bit actually about the positives of comparing relationships, which I think we decided we would call it growth and learning. Not so much calling out, as Aaron said a bunch of times, Mary J. Blige, you remind me of a love I once knew. While you might be feeling that, maybe not letting your partner always hear you say that you remind them of somebody from the past, but that all comparisons to the past are not necessarily bad ones. There's growth and learning that happens there. But where we ended that last episode was talking about some of the factors and forces out there in the world that contribute to that nature of comparing your relationship to other relationships or other partners. We talked at length about the council of friends, who will have feedback about your partner and patterns. But what we started down the road of was media and social media, and how you see certain aspects of things that aren't necessarily the whole story, but maybe make you feel some kind of way about what you're supposed to be doing or having. So let's pick that back up. And what were you saying about that, Aaron? You were talking about media and how that plays a part.
I think we emulate to things that we want to be. And when we see others doing those things, we'll try to emulate towards that. I mean, we're inspired by so many people and so many factors, so many facets of life. And we're trying to get to certain places. We're trying to grow. We're trying to experience. We're trying to live. But then there comes a point where sometimes we're constantly chasing this image, this lifestyle, and it's nothing new. It's human condition or human nature. And it gets to a point where we lose scope of where we actually are. And sometimes being yourself is enough, and being comfortable under your own skin is enough. And thus you don't even have to compare other relationships. Or if you're being compared to something else, or someone else rather, then you're in a place where you can handle that, you can respect it. I'm just kind of go from there, I suppose. I'll leave it at that.
I'm going to take creative license here and say, as Princess Robin, I think that's why I don't like love stories, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. I'm not really a fan of like the rom-com and the love stories. I hate those. I prefer a good murder or crime investigation, because it has nothing to do with my life. I've never been a murderer or a victim of a big crime like that. So I can take myself out of it and give my relationship the merit it deserves on its own.
Exactly.
Clink that.
Clink
right.
That. Clink knowledge. Bam.
Although, to say this, though, my husband could stand up to any romantic movie that you have ever seen. Ooh. Now, go ahead, Eve. After you get
That's
back
so sweet. She like murders. That's all I'm saying.
This is my third marriage.
All that.
Eve, don't worry. I be watching the movies with her, so that way I know if I see some some trickery going on. I hear a certain line from the movie. I know what's about to go down. Yeah. I got you.
You can compare your move with hers and be safe.
Mm-hmm. Antoine, are you trying to jump in, my friend?
Oh, no, I was clearing my throat.
Oh, let me clean my throat. All right.
Make sure you ain't coughing.
Make sure you ain't coughing. That's right. So, Eve, you were kind of, did you have something to say about it? The media influence?
The media influence is just what it is. You got to be conscious of what you allow to come into your psyche, mm-hmm. and how it affects your life. Because the media will either make you feel like you're on the right track, or like you got a long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have just confidence, like with special applications saying.
That's Aaron.
You know, I don't know if that's a good special application or a bad special application. you just got to be have a consciousness. And I'll take my family, for example. I compare a lot of men to my father. Okay. Because hard worker, been married, my parents have been married over 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the perfect marriage, but I see what it takes to have a happy marriage and how it functions and what they went through when it wasn't so good.
Mm-hmm.
So I have I compare that. My father, he took care of everything outside the house. Anything, the mortgage, car notes, all of that stuff. And my dad and my mom, she took care of everything inside the house. The cooking, the lights, you know, cable. You know, some days we sitting in the house and the electricity go out. We only go look at one person. You don't need that bill. Dog, what do you mean? Why the lights on? You know?
So is it then natural to look at models that you grew up with and compare your partner, your relationship to that kind of situation? What do you guys say about it?
Yeah, because, you know, in a sense, it's not for everything. In a sense, like, if you don't know what it takes to have a successful relationship, how do you make it successful? If you're not going out to seek counseling, like, you know, dating, once you become serious, are you going to marry this man? Are you going to get premarital counseling just to make sure y'all on the same page?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really, really important. I mean, look at Kelly Rowland. I don't know if y'all know her story. She and her fiance, which is a football player, they was about to get married. When they went to counseling, he called off the marriage.
Mm.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
He was like, we don't even know each other. We just getting married for the sake of us getting married.
Antoine?
Yeah, that sounds like a very common thing. People like the ideal of a celebration and putting having a wedding and the joy that it brings and bringing people together. But yeah, that relationship is a whole nother beast. And I will say, though, more recently, I've heard people be more transparent, you know, on the other side of like relationships like their parents had and stuff like that. And some people have really been able to call out the toxicity between. Because one thing I used to have somewhat that same type of comparison when I thought about my grandparents who were married for many years, but my parents were never married. They were never in a relationship. In fact, they broke up when I was very young. So I never really saw that people, you know, compromising. My mother didn't really have, she didn't have to compromise nobody, you know? And her attitude was more of like, by the time she got to a point in life where she owned her house and did everything, she definitely wasn't trying to get married. She was like, I need to get married when y'all was younger. I'm good now, type of a thing. So I never really seen that. So I wouldn't have anything to compare it to, but I also find this very common in my generation that a lot of us don't have that comparison. So it really is all about what we create. Mm-hmm. Now, there's still some opportunities for healthy relationships, but I think I'm more allowing people to have to create what they want. You know, before, mm-hmm. you know, people talked about, oh, I'm in a relationship with just me and my, you know, significant other against the world. Now people, they're polyamorous and they're this, and they're adapting all these different things. Not necessarily saying that it's right, but I think that it's all about what people are willing to deal with, and it's all about what you see for yourself and your family or yourself and your partner, however you roll. So, I don't know. It's really tough. Like, I guess the initial thing is, like, the social media influence. Yeah, But if you don't really know who you are, social media, your friends, your family, they're going to all, you know, have you all over the place, which is hence the reason mental health is so high right now around relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, it's tough.
Yeah. Trina, what are your thoughts about it?
I agree. I'm going to piggyback off of that with the parents. My parents have been married for about 42 years. So Atlas is a jack of all trades and a master of none. So he taught me how to do a lot of things, like we're him talking about me hanging the pictures and whatnot. But there was a lot of times because he was in the church, he was a deacon, and now he's a pastor now, but he was always so busy helping outside of the house, you know. So when my mom had this thing where, you know what, you ain't got to do it, I'm gonna figure it out myself. If not, I'm gonna go and pay somebody to get it done, you know. So that's, I've learned from both of them. I learned how to try to take care of myself, in addition to, you know, if I do ask you, if I do ask for help and you are not available to provide for me, then that's what I'm gonna make it happen. I'm either gonna have to figure it out myself, or I'm gonna have to go buy or pay somebody to do it for me. So at this particular point, I'm one of those people that I learned from growing up, and again, I hope I don't make step on anybody's toes, but what I know in my personal experience in my life of growing up, out of the eight uncles that I've had, every last one of them, including my dad.
What was that, Trina? I missed what you said. All out of your eight uncles, can you repeat that?
Every last one have cheated.
Oh.
So what I know, every man that I know growing up has been unfaithful. Mm. And they're outside children in the house. I have a little sister, a 13-year-old sister. And again, my parents have been married for 42 years. So, but I have to know what it is that I have to be comfortable with me. And I have to know what it is that I want and know that I still have that, and that goes back to that comparison. I still have that in the back of my head that all men are unfaithful. At one point in their life, are faithful. Because before it was all men cheat all the time. Now I'm getting better. At one point, maybe. Yeah. But I'm trying to do better. I'm growing, okay?
Right on.
But again, it's about what you're comfortable with and not comparing other relationships, past relationships, somebody else's relationship, and what it is that you want. I just know what I want. I have to have a little drama. If you say you're going to do something, follow through and do it. I understand life happens. So just communicate with me. I know I said I was going to do something, but X and Y, Z happened. Can we do it another time? I'm good with that. But that's me and the life and the goal that I want in a relationship. I don't necessarily have to be married again.
I'm feeling it. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to Traveler's Guide to Venus and Mars with Princess Robin. We're in part two of comparing relationships, and we're talking with Eve, Trina, Aaron, Blacktivity, Antoine, and Casey. I want to give the mic to Eve. I saw your hand raised there, sister. What were you about to say?
We used to leave church during service. So I wanted to add to, I think somebody said your non-negotiables are things you wouldn't tolerate. I want to add to that, depending on what your value for that person is, how you value that person is whether you'll put up with what you said you wouldn't put up with that person.
I think that it depends on how long we've made it.
Here we go with the excuses.
No, seriously, because I feel like after a certain amount of time, you're growing together and you're getting to know each other together, and your bond is becoming tighter and tighter. The longer you're together, the tighter your bond gets. And so you're willing to compromise. You're willing to look at and tolerate some things.
Now we compromise.
Yeah. I'm willing to tolerate some things. Let Casey speak on it. If we're a month into it
and you come in with some drama, we're only a month in it. This is too early. It's too early for me to be going through all of this. But if
yesterday was a non-negotiable,
you're going to have to.
Let's see what Casey has to say.
I'm sorry.
I hear both sides, and I understand both sides of it, because first of all, everyone has flaws. That's one thing we all have to understand. Mm-hmm. You have your weaknesses and your strengths, just like they have their weaknesses and their strengths. And that's part of the dance that you have to do when, you know, starting a relationship is kind of figure out what's your strengths, what's your weaknesses, what's their strengths, what's their weaknesses. Do they complement each other? Do they not? Sometimes mm-hmm. you end up saying, you know what, we're better friends than a couple. And mm-hmm. sometimes you're better, you know, and even then, sometimes say as a, you know, as a couple, we can still be best friends. Sometimes you can say, you know what, this just ain't working.
Ooh, period. Now, I got to jump in now. And Erin, you're going to remember this because you were on this episode about just friends.
Yeah.
So now we were talking about the potential pitfalls of mm-hmm. comparing your partner or your relationship to the friend. You know, hey, we dated, it didn't work out, but we're going to remain friends. And so what does that mean for the new partner? Now, I don't want to too much muddy the water between mm-hmm. the two conversations, but at the same time, that is a basis for comparison. We mm-hmm. talked, somebody kept trying to dip their toe in the what happens when you compare your partner with that best friend, that friend. We're really good friends. We tried, it didn't work, but we're friends. So now what do you do with the new partner who's, right? So does everybody have a basis for that? And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that particular matter.
So just so we can be clear, is this friend, had y'all been sexually intimate with this person, friend, or y'all didn't cross the line? That's what's going to make.
Well, let's just be honest. We always going to have dip that.
Yeah. Folks can have some kind of juice.
When we're done turning. Negative.
That's a non-negotiable there.
Yeah, I mean, that's just unfinished business. You know, you call yourself dipping and sampling the water a little bit and, you know, you kind of fizzle out. But you're still trying to be friends, and then you move on to somebody else. You're still friends with that person, and you start comparison. I mean, you still got feelings for that previous situation,
right?
And now you sabotage and mm-hmm. or don't give the opportunity for the new person in your life to grow and flourish. I mean, you shot your own self in the foot. You see what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So you're going to have to stop, drop, and roll, put the fire out. You see what I'm saying? Right. Or get your friend to put the fire out. Ooh.
There is that ooh. So we have to put a clink on it.
But y'all know a comparison I haven't heard anybody mention yet that I think also caused a lot of, I don't want to use the word anxiety, but a lot of pressure to either stay in, mainly to stay in relationships. And I think it's the Bible.
What was that?
I said, I think one of the comparisons that people make that keep them in relationships sometimes when they probably should get out is also the Bible.
I thought that's what you said too.
Yeah.
The Bible.
Yeah, the Bible. Tell
me more about that, Antoine.
I've known people who have been in relationships really probably should have been over a long time. In particular, marriages that should have ended a long ago. And that people will take anything and they say, you know, well, you know, the Bible say, you know, you got to do this and you have to honor and do all these different things. But you're in a horrible situation. Your blood pressure's high. You're unhealthy. You're unhappy. You don't feel secure. And people will just use that one thing. And I think people kind of gravitate to what they believe in. So if you're real active in the church, your pressure more so is I'm going to stay married because basically we need to show people that we're still together type of thing. It's more of like, you're a representative for the Bible, but you're not really an advocate for yourself and not realizing that God definitely didn't write the Bible for us to stay in situations that we shouldn't be in and for us to be unhappy. We still have autonomy of our own habits. Mm. But, you know, I just think that's a crazy dynamic that I've seen people like use the Bible to accept toxicity and pain for themselves. But the church.
What's that, Eve?
That's where the death till death do we part. The death, I personally take death do we part if, you know, besides if I kill you, you know, of course, you know, that would be one.
there is a way to death.
Yeah, there is a way. Right. Expressway.
Just but bake a pie. Bake one of them pies.
I know, right? You can have a good time. Your relationship would be so dead, and you waiting for this person to die. The relationship is already dead. And if you don't recognize, you know, some people try to take the Bible and use it for their benefit, you know, back, you know, hey, well, it says this and says that. You got to take it all on. You can't just pull apart and pull out the pieces that you want. But you can also elaborate on what God means for it to be. So when I read the Bible, you know, when I was married, you know, the death of our relationship was dead. So, you know, that 12 months that I put in, that was a long, long sentence.
You said a long sentence? Is that what you said?
Wow. That's deep. You done did time.
12 months feel like
that's 12 a different
years.
Show.
Yikes.
Yeah, but I think it goes back to kind of what we said in a previous episode also. Sometimes it's peer pressure also. Because if our friends are in a relationship and they keep boasting about their relationship, then we feel, okay, let me have this relationship just because everyone else, I don't want to be the third wheel or the fifth wheel or the seventh wheel, you know, when everybody's out there. So sometimes you force things just to kind of, you know, appease your friends, knowing that it's not right for you. And that's not a way to live also. That's when you have to be, like we said before in previous
honest episodes, with yourself.
You got to be honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to totally be honest.
And also, too, I think there's a lot of fear of having to re-explain your newness. Like if you were married and you're single, or you're in a relationship and now you're single, people don't want to have to explain the newness of what happened because they don't want to feel like they failed somebody. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of this comes down to like being confident in yourself and understanding that you know you did the best thing for you, because the truth is, none of us tell everything that happened in our relationship.
Right.
You know, and so when you make that decision, you got to make that for you. Just like when you made the decision to get married. Everybody's not going to agree with you walking down the aisle, who you're going to walk down the aisle with. But again, like I said, your friends and your family can kiss you at night and make you feel so good on the inside. So those decisions, that's going to lead you to a decision that's different from everyone else, because they're not what they shouldn't have the same experience that you have it anyway. So.
So a lot of times we're looking for the affirmation or not being criticized or critiqued by outside entities.
But that's when it goes back to what you were saying about the media influence, because that media, Facebook and all that becomes a fake friend. Because what happens is we, like you said, we always post the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you got 2,000 pictures of you and this person over here. And then all of a sudden, you know, you off social media for about 2 months. Next thing you know, you're in a new relationship. They're like, hey, hold on, what happened to?
Or you're not in a new relationship and people be like, what happened to so-and-so?
Yeah. Or you posting negative stuff. You know, if you ain't happy, tell the other person to kill yourself. Stuff like that. You know.
Oh, wow.
But that's part of it. That's part of, once again, when it comes to media, when it comes to your friends, first of all, your relationship is your relationship. It's not everyone's relationship, like Antoine was saying. It's not for everyone to understand. Right. It's not for everyone to approve.
Right.
It's not to get approval on social media, because you can put your stuff out there. And trust me, somebody that ain't having a good day, that don't like you, but they befriended you on your pages, will always throw out that negative situation and have you all of a sudden. And if you are weak-minded or you're not strong within yourself, you may start second-guessing what you're doing.
Right. So you know what, guys, we're starting to run short on time, and I just want to make sure everyone is able to give their, you know, like, most important takeaway about comparing relationships. So if you had one bit of advice or a thought you want to leave the listeners with, what would that be? And I'm going to start with Aaron Blacktivity.
No, my name has changed to Decent Proposal.
Decent Proposal, Aaron.
Oh, okay.
Let's hear about it.
Because, you know, we got this last bit. So, you know, if you're going to compare yourself to other things, that's one thing. Well, I'll say this. It's one thing to compare yourself it's another to aspire to something that you admire.
Okay.
And so
I like that.
You know, if you're still comparing yourself, maybe deep down inside, you're not comfortable under your own skin, or you haven't necessarily established or developed yourself, and you still need time to yourself, which is precious,
right,
to be the person that you can actually be. So you even have the ability to share with another person. You know, sometimes you just, I mean, you know how people make that list of what they want in a person, but you have to ask yourself, can you do that list for yourself first? Then you can start seeing if somebody's equally yoked, per se, or whether or not you can even meet your own standard in the first place. I'll leave
there
it at
you
that.
Go. Clink that. That gets a clink right there. I don't know what else we can say.
Quite clinktations. The clinktations.
As a matter of fact, I don't think we got time to say anything else. So we're going to just leave it right there. I'm going to go on and thank my tour guides because this has been a wonderful conversation. Aaron Blacktivity for Decent Proposal. Antoine, Trina, Eve, Casey, thanks so much for being a part of this conversation. Casey, thank you also for producing the show. Thanks for the beautiful theme music. And comparatively speaking, nobody reaches the bar you do, baby.
That's what I'm
talking about.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm going to click it myself.
So please do follow us on social media on Facebook. It's Traveler's Guide to Venus and Mars with Princess Robin on Instagram and at Just Princess Robin. You can catch a new episode of Traveler's Guide to Venus and Mars each Tuesday at 3 p.m. on the Rainier Avenue radio app or on TuneIn. Thanks for joining us. And remember that regardless of what the roadmap says, you've got to follow your own hearts. Until next week, smooches!